This is Sunday Morning, written by Z Straps and read by Tipsy Kitty. Steed stretches out contentedly across the full width of his and Ed's four-poster bed, the sunlight streaming through the blinds falling in stripes across his skin. He reaches for his phone, his head still full of thoughts of Ed, then double-checks the time. Ed will text him the filthiest shit imaginable from just about anywhere. But sexting Ed when he's in church seems a touch too far, to Steed's mind. But it's 10:21, service is well over by now, and Steed loves the way Ed gets when he gives him something good to rush home for. So he considers, and then types, "I just came so hard and still all I can think about is fucking you. It's just not the same as being inside you. It's where I belong. It's like you were made for me. I could fuck you every hour of every day and never get tired of it." Of course, you'd like that, wouldn't you? "Keeping yourself all open and slicked up and aching for me all day long, so I can just bend you over and slide right into you whenever I need it. Fill you up with my cum and have you all wet and slick for the next time I want you. Wouldn't even be a chore for you, would it? You'd love it. Such a perfect little toy. Always so eager for whatever sir wants." ... Okay, so don't freak out. But starting a sentence with "don't freak out" is the fastest way to make me freak out, Ed. You know this. It's possible my mom might have seen your last couple of texts. What? Steed stares at the phone in horror. Oh, God. Ed's mom. Ed's 70-year-old mom. Ed's mom, who is a pastor, whose service that had been sitting in not 30 minutes before Steed, in his post-orgasm haze, decided to torture him with a few filthy ideas. Ed's mom, who Steed is supposed to meet for the first time next weekend, and whose first impression of him he's been fretting over since Ed suggested him coming to dinner. Ed's mom has seen Steed sexting her son. His phone vibrates with more texts from Ed trying to reassure him. "I came up with a cover. It's fine. Please don't freak out." But that ship has sailed. He's already deep into panic. "Oh, God," he mumbles out loud, staring into empty air. 30 minutes and countless laps of the living room later, the door opens and Steed is on Ed before he's fully in the house. "Please tell me you were joking," he says immediately. "Hello to you too," Ed says. "Can I get in the fucking door first, love?" He's balancing several Tupperware, but he maneuvers in for a kiss on Steed's cheek, then heads to the kitchen, Steed trailing after him. "Ed," he says, "did she send me home with food again?" Ed says, lifting one of the Tupperware. "Doesn't matter how old I get, I'll always leave Mums with dinner for the next 2 days. "Ed!" Steed nearly shouts. Ed looks up at him, and Steed falters. Did she really see those texts? Ed slowly turns to face him fully, hesitates, then winces and nods. "Oh, God," Steed groans, pressing the heel of his hands into his eyes. "Love, it's not a big..." "Wait, how much did she see?" Steed pulls his hands down to stare at Ed, wild-eyed. "Oh, God, please tell me she didn't see the one about filling you up. That's the worst one." The impossibility of it makes it worse somehow. The gender fantasy more personal, more exposing than just a need to get off. Ed winces again. "She definitely saw the last one. Maybe the one before that? No more than that, I don't think." "The last one?" Steed seizes his phone and hastily scrolls to the bottom of their text thread. "That's the worst one!"
"You just said the one about filling me up was the worst one."
"They're all the worst one!" He can tell Ed is trying not to laugh, but his nonchalance is doing nothing to tamp down Steed's growing hysteria.
"Love,"
Ed says, catching Steed's hands on their way up to his face and tugging them back down again.
"Look, I explained it away, yeah?"
"How?" Steed asks shrilly.
"I told her it was something from a book we were both reading."
Steed stares at him incredulously. "How is that better?" "Because she reads books with that kind of stuff all the time."
Wait, how do you know that?" Ed shrugs. "I used to nick 'em off her shelf all the time. How do you think I learned about all this kink shit?"
Steed blinks. There are too many things about that statement that he doesn't have the capacity to process right now.
Okay, we are coming back to that later, he says.
But even if she does, how is it any better if it's from a book?
Because then it's not you saying it to me, Ed says, like it should be obvious. It's something someone else wrote.
But it's still me sending it to you. Even if it was smut someone else wrote, she still saw me sending her son smut.
He stares despairingly at Ed. Huh, Ed says, brow furrowed. Guess she could see it that way, yeah.
Steed wails and buries his face in his hands.
I'm going to die, he says into his palms. I'm going to pass away. Here lies Steed Bonnet, expired spontaneously from pure humiliation. That's your intro, little humiliation, Ed says, sounding amused.
Ed?
Steed peeks through his fingers at him.
Not helpful.
I mean, it could have been worse. You could have sent a dick pic.
A dick pic would be better than this, Steed says, his voice climbing in pitch. At least that would be something normal.
There's a brief pause, and then, hey, hold on, time out. Ed's hands are on his wrists again, tugging Steed's hands away from his face so that he can catch Steed's eyes, close enough that his face is all Steed can see.
Listen, I don't give one single flying fuck about what is or isn't normal, yeah?
His dark eyes are insistent, and his hands grip Steed's forearms tightly. Steed swallows and blinks back at him.
You ask 50 people what's normal, you get 50 different answers. Trying to be normal is like chasing a fucking mirage.
Steed swallows again, nodding, Ed's gaze still pinning him.
What you and I get up to, there's exactly two people whose opinions on that matter, and they're both right fucking here,
Ed says, squeezing Steed's forearms for emphasis.
All that matters is that it's what we want, what makes us happy.
His eyebrows twitch upward.
Does it make you happy?
Steed nods again, more emphatically now, because that one's easy.
Yes,
he says, his voice coming out a little rough.
Good,
Ed says, grinning,
because it makes me really fucking happy too.
Steed feels himself starting to smile, finally, a tiny, rueful thing. He takes a deep breath in and sighs it out through his nose.
You're right,
he says. Ed leans back with a smile.
Of course I am.
Steed rolls his eyes at that, but lets Ed pull him into his chest and wrap his arms around him. He breathes in deep again, inhaling Ed's scent, relishing the safety and comfort of his arms.
Thank you, love,
he says quietly into Ed's chest. Then, his face still buried in Ed's shirt.
Oh, God. How am I going to look her in the eye at dinner next week?
Dinner, as it turns out, isn't painful in the slightest. Ed's mom is as gracious and warm and lovely as Ed. If Steed's a little anxious, stumbling over his words and fidgeting more than usual, well, Ed's the only one who'd be able to tell. Steed's polite to an extreme, a perfect gentleman, trying desperately for his second impression to make up for his disastrous first one. By halfway through dinner, though, he's forgotten about the texts and the feared awkwardness almost entirely. He's too caught up in watching Ed and his mum together, laughing and sharing stories. It tugs at his heart in a way he hadn't anticipated, seeing the things he loves so much about Ed on another person. Not just any person, but the one he got them from. Elizabeth shares Ed's dark, expressive eyes, with the same crinkling lines at the corners when she smiles. Her hair, though more silver than salt and pepper, is the same rich tumble of curls. But it's not just their looks. He can see Ed's mannerisms in her, too. Or rather, her mannerisms in Ed, he supposes. She has the same quick wit, the same kindness in her eyes, and the same sly quirk to her mouth when she's about to say something she knows is clever, and it makes Steed's heart ache in the best way. When they finished eating, Elizabeth gets up and starts to clear their plates. Steed jumps to his feet and snatches up his and Ed's, and there's a brief good-natured back and forth as he tries to take Elizabeth's plate, and she tries to get him to sit back down.
Really, I insist, he says,
and she finally relents.
Well, if that's the case, she says, and there's a half second of an all too familiar mirth dancing in her eyes before she says, "Whatever Sir wants, right?" And Steed fumbles and drops all three plates with a crash. It takes Steed a moment before he can take in anything besides his utter mortification. The heat in his face a sure sign he's flushed scarlet from head to toe. He processes the scene in bits. The plates are in pieces on the floor. Pasta sauce is splattered across the wood floor, along with the bottom few inches of both his and Elizabeth's pants, and Elizabeth is positively howling with laughter. "Oh God, I'm so sorry." Steed scrambles to start picking up the shards of ceramic, not sure if he's apologizing for the dropped plates, or the overseen texts, or for his continued existence, for not just being swallowed up by a hole in the ground on the spot. Any of it, really. All of it. But Elizabeth waves a hand at the mess, still cackling.
"Worth it,"
she manages between gasps of laughter. "Oh God, I wish you could see your face." And Steed looks helplessly between her and Ed, who's still frozen in his seat, wide-eyed. But something in Steed's expression startles him into laughter, too. And then the two of them are both cracking up. They have the same laugh, too, Steed notices. The same wheezing, full-body cackle that sounds like it's being squeezed out of them. And Steed can't help it. He's giggling, too, crouched on the floor amid broken ceramic and pasta sauce. They laugh until Steed's stomach hurts and he's gasping for breaths. Every time they start to calm down, one of them starts laughing again. And it sets the other two off, starting the whole cycle over again. Finally, they calm enough that Steed manages to get back to his feet with a hand from Elizabeth. "That was mean of me," she says, still chuckling, wiping a tear from her eye. "Shit, for a second I thought I might have given you an honest-to-God heart attack." Steed chuckles weakly. "Yes, well, the priests I knew growing up would have responded with less laughter and more, horrified divine condemnation." "Ah," she says, nodding like that tells her everything she needs to know. "Yes, we're definitely not as big on condemnation over at the UU Church." She tilts her head, considering him. "I think it might be a welcome change for you," she says, lightly. No pressure behind it. At least none that Steed can sense. Steed hasn't set foot in a church in 2 decades. But the thought of someone like Elizabeth leading a service, with her sharp mind, her irreverence, her easy acceptance, is so different from the dusty, droning priests and quick-to-punishment god of his youth that he feels curiosity bloom in him, despite himself. "I think it might," he says, and smiles back at her. No promises, but maybe. "Besides, you clearly need something to keep you busy on Sunday mornings," she says, and Steed hides his face in his hands. "I am so sorry," he tells her fervently, opening his hands like double doors to peer at her. "It will not happen again, I assure you." "Oh, I know it won't," she says solemnly. "I'm not touching Edward's phone again with a 10-foot pole. And then she's dissolving into peals of laughter again. Steed looks to Ed, unsure. But Ed just shrugs and shakes his head, his shoulders shaking with the same cadence of mirth. Steed looks back and forth between them, giddiness bubbling back up in his chest despite himself. The shame is still there, shrunk back to a corner of his mind, but not completely banished. But right now, Steed is helpless in the tide of his favorite laugh in the world, now coming at him in stereo. He gives up and lets himself be pulled along by it, and for the moment, it's easy, like breathing. The end.